some of the three questions that I wanted you to keep in mind as we look at some of the issues here. So we added one on yesterday, we took things a little bit further. Basically, I think there are three broader issues to keep in mind. One issue is one that reverberates through the entire parak, that are we talking about basic contractual agreements between people? So whatever deal you make, you make. And we'll talk about certain categories because it's convenient, but it's still all basically up to whatever you decide. Or is there reason to believe that Poel has a certain halachic chalos, has a certain Torah description to it, and there are rules that are kind of inherent to Poel? That's one question. The second question, more directly relevant to our sugya, more directly specific to our sugya, is when the Gemara tells us that a Poel yachal achzi v'chatzi ayom, that a Poel has the right to pull out halfway through the day. So, and that's based on Kili B'nai Yisrael Avadim. So that's it's actually one of the first things we've seen this entire year in their straight above Metziah sugyas, which is based on a pasuk. So much above Metziah is based on svaras and umdanas and the like, and very little of it is tied into direct psukim limudim. So this is somewhat, not counting in terms of ribbis and the like, which the side limud. So this is itself of interest, the fact that the Gemara connects it to the Pasuk, and it seems to have the status of a Din Daraisa. So who is this Din addressed to? Is it telling us that the boss has to respect the rights of the worker? The worker has a right to take off when he wants, to leave when he wants, because of this idea of Pol Yachal Achz B'chatzi Ayom, that he shouldn't be like an Eved who can't go free, he can go free. Or is it really as much addressed to the worker himself, that even if the worker wants to tie himself up, he should recognize that it's wrong, that the Torah is basically saying that one does not have that kind of right. He has a prior commitment, he's a Eved to God, and he doesn't have the right to be an Eved to people, and therefore it's not up to what he wants. This is essentially an Isser, so to speak, or something like an Isser. It's also clear that it's certainly less absolute than other dinim that we find. I say that because we have a parsha of Eved Ivri, so we know that you could literally be an actual Eved, but apparently it's wrong, and that's what we've seen, that there is a certainly a lot of criticism directed at the Eved, but it's a kind of a strange tension that it's possible, but we also indicate that it's not what we want. So it has an Isser status, but it doesn't seem that it's comparable to Ribbis in the sense that Ribbis is an absolute prohibition. Here, it doesn't seem to manifest itself as an absolute prohibition because we have some degree of tolerance for violating it, but it's basically the Ratz and HaTorah that one should not become an Eved. And then the question that we started to explore a little bit yesterday is, assuming this is a Din Min HaTorah, should we perhaps say that it's not really the din the Gemara has? When the Gemara says Pol Yochel Achzi B'chatzi Ayom and connects it to a pasuk, does it mean that the Torah is interested davka in that din, that a Pol should be able to quit? Or maybe it's a more abstract concept that essentially the Torah doesn't want anyone to be an Eved. And therefore, that's really the din. Don't become like an Eved. And a Poel has dangerous similarities to an Eved, so especially in the context of the Poel, we're warned, don't act like an Eved. Now, that could mean a lot of things, and the most likely thing that it means, or one handy, shorthand kind of concept, is that you should be able to pull out. But maybe it's not really about that. Maybe it's really just about the broader idea of not being an Eved, and as we'll see also today a little bit, that maybe you could have scenarios where you can pull out, but you're still like an Eved, and it's still a problem. Or maybe you can have scenarios where you can't pull out, but for other reasons you're not like an Eved. So maybe it's not as specific, even if it is a Din Min HaTorah, it's not necessarily connected to this Din in an absolute sense. This is just representative of a more abstract concept that one should not be like an Eved. So far so good, everyone following what we're talking about? That last example, by the way, it's evocative of a concept that you find elsewhere in the Torah, elsewhere in Shas, rather, and during the Suda Sodal yesterday. had an opportunity to discuss with some of the other Rebbeim, who also agreed this is a reasonable way to look at it, that we have an interesting construct in Chazal and the Torah, that we know we have Dinim min HaTorah, and then we have Dinim midrabanan. But we also have a concept that's somewhere in between called Masorah and Hakasuv l'Chachamim, which means that the Torah will have a concept, but the details of the concept are given over to Chazal to determine. The most famous example of this, it could be that there are many, many examples about this, and Rav David Cohen of Brooklyn, in his Sefer Gvul Yavetz, has a whole essay where he goes through many, many possible candidates for this. But the most famous example is Malachas Chol HaMoed. That the Gemara discusses the fact that Malachas Chol HaMoed, it's a Gemara in Chagiga and Daf Yud Ches, and there's a big Tosfos over there, that there is a little bit of a confusion as to what the status of Malachas Chol HaMoed is. It sounds like that there's an Issur Min HaTorah to work on Chol HaMoed. And yet, if you go through the Gemaras in Moed Katan that talk about that, I don't know if we ever talked about this this year or not, but the Gemaras, they kind of sound like a Dinim D'Rabbanan and the type of Heterim that we have to work on Chol HaMoed, you know, Hefsed Merubah, things like that. These sounds like Dinim D'Rabbanan. They sound like the kind of concepts that we invoke in a Din D'Rabbanan context. So apparently, the whole structure there is that this is a Din Min HaTorah, that the concept of Malachas Chol HaMoed is something that emanates from the Torah itself. But the Torah delegated the authority to Chazal to determine what the details would be, which is a fascinating sugya in itself, and we could spend some more time in other contexts going into all the ins and outs of that sugya. It's got a lot of fascinating stuff to explore, but you have such an idea. So maybe it's possible to say that's what's going on here as well, that maybe the Din Min HaTorah is really don't be Eved-like. And Chazal were given the right to determine what is the definition of being like an Eved, and what does the halacha require of you to differentiate yourself from being an Eved. And perhaps that will account for some of what we see, which is a little bit of fluidity in terms of what this din really is addressing. So these are questions to keep in mind as we look through the sugya. Yeah, and we saw so far what are the ramifications of the halacha that we've seen from different gemaras in terms of a pole being able to pull out. So first of all, so he has the upper hand, that's our parak, that if he pulls out, he has the right to do that, and he gets his normal salary, even if it's going to cost the boss more to replace him. And then we saw in the Gemara in Daf Yud that discusses if the poel finds some lost property, who gets the property? Is it something he finds for himself, or is it something that he finds for the balabas? And the Gemara suggests that poel yachal achsi b'chatzi ayom is relevant to that, because should we view the poel as essentially an extension of the balabas? He does whatever the balabas wants and acts as his hand? Or is he a separate person, so to speak? So the Gemara invokes in that context, well, if he could quit, then looks like he should be treated as a different person, but then maybe that's only a chiddush of this day. How are you?
I'm trying to figure out how exactly the poel yachal achsi fits in with the yado al tachtona rav dosa and the Mishnah. I mean, if he pulls out and the amount is increased,
right,
it's possible that the amount that he should have got is going to be decreased, correct?
Right, well, it's possible that the amount that the boss is going to have to shell out is going to go up. So that's, nonetheless, and that's as the Torah explains, that despite the fact the boss ends up paying more, you can't punish the guy for pulling out. You can't.
But then what does it mean? Yadu atachtona, kol chuzu bo yadu.
Right, so in general, that's the normal rule. And that rule is mitigated by the fact that if you're a poel, you have the right to quit.
But a kavlan, so then what does Mishnah happen with them? Because it seems a bit.
Right, so they could talk about the balabas, and maybe we'll get to it. And we see the Rishalmi, I think we put on the Marmar Komos, the Rishalmi, that has a slightly different application, right? According to an opinion, the Rishalmi really, because of this, when you're dealing with a poel, either side, according to Rav and the Rishalmi, either side can pull that. So we'll get to that a little bit, God willing. But essentially, this is a mitigation of the Mishnah, that in general, whoever pulls out is at a disadvantage. But a poel, regarding specifically his quitting, has this upper hand. And how that impacts other things, we'll see a little bit more. Hi.
Is the implication? implication from the Gemara on Daf Yud and Aleph that Kol Yachol is a concept rather than individual din?
I think so. I mean, in fact, that it's brought into a different context. The fact that it's brought into, so maybe it's definitely relevant to that discussion. But one could say still, okay, the din min haTorah is that he has to be able to quit, and the fact that he can quit, then that ends up characterizing his relationship, and it has other ramifications. So it's hard to pin down exactly what's the main category and what's the detail. But it's relevant to the discussion for sure, but you could probably read it both ways. Okay, so then with that background, so yesterday we saw Tosfos a little bit, Tosfos and Kedushin on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, that Tosfos maintains that he's commenting on the Gemara, which talks about an Eved. The Gemara says that an Eved, let's say half of the term of an Eved, 6 years, half of the 6 years, he's sick. So, at least according to one opinion in the Gemara, so you might think, all right, he missed 3 years of work, he has to make it up. No, he doesn't. It's bad luck of the owner. And Tosfos says, okay, so there are people who say, so that's the story also. If somebody hires himself out as a worker, and he's sick half the time, so maybe that should go on the cheshbon of the boss. The boss is bad luck, he doesn't have to make it up. So then Tosfos says, no, he doesn't agree with that, because there's a difference. One's talking about never, one's talking about a pole. And Paul Yochalachsu b'chatzi ayom. Therefore, we don't view the relationship that way. That's the beginning of Tosfos on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Hopefully, you got to see the whole thing. But you see, by the end, so what chiddush l'halacha does Tosfos tell us? That there is a definition to a period of work, right? Based on psukim. So Tosfos tells us, based on a pasuk in Yeshaya, that the term that tells us what the term of a worker is. At the pasuk over here, Tosfos quotes, that word is a mistake. It says, miktzeh, that should be taken out. But the pasuk says, b'shalosh shanim kishnei sachir. So the term of a worker is 3 years. And then the Torah also says, in reference to an eved, that when you free the eved in the seventh year, you shouldn't feel bad about it, because don't think you lost out, because the Eved worked for you two terms of the Sachir. He worked for you 6 years, which is twice what a normal employee works, so you should be happy with what you got. So this introduces a new idea into the equation, that there's significance to a three-year term. Up to 3 years, you're a worker. After that, you're an Eved, and that's a problem. So working within that, so you find that there are views in Rishonim that a normal worker, in addition to his ability to quit, if he contracts himself, if he signs some kind of a deal, so the deal should not be more than 3 years, because that will already change his definition. So if you look, for example, right, so you saw Tosfos on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, the short Tosfos. Right, so when the Gemara quotes this din of Ki Li B'nei Yisrael Avadim, so what does that short Tosfos say? See it at if you open up to Yud Amud Aleph. So Nira Li D'Mikom Malkom Mutar Adam LaHaskir Atzmo. Right, don't think that a person is not allowed to hire himself out. Don't think that you're not allowed to sign any contracts. Why? D'Dav Ke Eved Ivri She'enu Yochel Achzer Bo. Ve'enu yotzei kodim zmano, ela b'shtar shichur over mishum avadayhem. That this iser only applies essentially to an eved, because an eved, there's no out for him, unless the boss decides to set him free. And therefore, that's where you have an issue. But don't think that a worker is not allowed to hire himself out. We have this idea of pol yochel achzer, so that covers our bases. He's not going to be considered in the category of an Eved. Now, did you see the Mordechai? Right, so what does the Mordechai introduce, Lahalacha? Well, not exactly. He says that he introduces a modification. Right, what's Asur according to the Mordechai?
3 consecutive years.
Right, so to work for more than 3 years, so that's where you have a problem. So yes, you can sign a contract, you can decide to commit yourself to work, But if you do it for more than 3 years, which is the term that we found in Tosfos and Kedusha, not Tosfos here, but Tosfos and Kedusha bringing up, so then you start to find yourself getting into a problem. And that, if you saw the Ibn Ezra that's on the Maror Makomos, who also notes that the 3 years is part of the definition of what a term of work is. So this is a concept that you find quoted in the halachic literature here, such as the Rama. Right, so the Rama in Shin Lamed Gimel over there, the Rama quotes that this is relevant to the Melamdim. If you're going to have a Rebbe, you're going to have a tutor who's going to decide to accept an engagement working on behalf of a parent or whoever it is, so then there's a limit to how long he can sign on for. He can sign on for 3 years maximum because of his din. Jonathan?
The case that the Ketzos ends up bringing with the person being hired by the community to be chazan, so one of the factions mm-hmm. he's talking about there is that he's involved with bar mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Is that okay at all to what they're showing the shaft, and obviously the Ketzos is talking about that this is a Rebbe teaching Torah?
Yeah, so we'll talk about that. So some of the specific details, and again, you know, already that's also funny if we're talking about a straight din d'oraisa, so when is that going to be mutter because it's a bar mitzvah?
And the lashon, it sounds maybe Drabbanan.
Right, so the lashon kind of sounds like we're dealing with a Drabbanan kind of idea, so that's something we'll have to get into a little bit more. But, yes sir, Michael.
Mordechai writes that we ask be so mechal shulchanim. So, is that significant?
Yes.
And so,
it's very significant.
Tutor isn't the best translation in Milano, it's more of like a full-time teacher.
Right, so you're saying that would not be called tutor in English, is that right. Correct? Is that true? I wonder. I mean, I'm not sure if that's... let's assume one way or another. Right, it's okay. So if you don't want to use a tutor, call it a full-time Malamed. So this din is brought in Shulchan Aruch. It's brought in the Rama. The Rama brings this... give you the exact... thanks to the handy-dandy... Velech Techabad Aruch. Let's quote the language of the Rama. Says the Rama... So Shulchan Aruch first, this is Shin Lamed Gimel Gimel. Hischel apol b'melacha, v'chazer bo v'chatzi hayom, chozer. That's the thing that we have from our Gemara. Even though that's not the exact language of the Gemara, which might be relevant. Then I'm going to skip the next line, because we'll come back to that. It's a very interesting line. We'll come back to that later. But Shanamar, Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim, v'avadim, v'avadim, Hagah, as the Rama, Umehai Taima, also the Poel, Afilu Malamed, O Sofer, Lahaskar Atmo Leos, Bebeis, Balabais, Bekeva, Sholoshana. And that's Hagah Samordechai in our pair that you saw. So Michael's question is well put. Should we pay close attention to the language of the Mordechai? Right? He doesn't just say that, and the Rama quotes, doesn't just say 3 years is the whole story, but there are other details there. Because this is an important question, because certainly people are signing contracts today, certainly religious Jews are signing contracts for more than 3 years. So what's the hetter for that? Why should we allow that a contract could be signed for so long, if there is a hetter? So there are those, Chen de Shlomo, the Shubas Lachem Rav, who say, like, I think Michael was perhaps getting at, do you see some type of distinction in the Rambam's language? That's not just necessarily applicable to all workers, but it's a specific work environment. Right? It sounds like he's living in the guy's house. It sounds like that if it's not just that you're doing work, but you're living there 24 hours a day, so maybe that's where you have such a concern. But if you get to go home and sleep at night, so then maybe we don't care how long your contract is. So that's an important detail of halacha. But again, this draws on what we were saying before, that why are we getting involved in such details? If the din of the Gemara is just pol yachal achzer, that should be all we care about. Either you can quit or you can't quit, then that's the whole story. So the idea that we start throwing in these other things, well, if you live there, if you live at home, so again, it seems to say that we're dealing with a more abstract concept than the level of Mahat Torah, and Chazal and even the later poskim are involved in trying to pin down what exactly is it that makes you an Evid or not.
I think you said that this is a blanket of Poliyachalachar, as we said, that it's really just we're afraid it's too close to Avda, so we need to throw in other other things to avoid that. But if you're not living in the guy's house, it's kind of implicit that it's not Avda. That if no Eved has his own house.
So you're saying you think it's Mustaber with the.
Yeah, so it makes sense that even within Poliyachalachar, if you're not living in the house, that we don't need to worry about this concept of it looks like Avda, because it's self-evident that it's not. So then you
can. So there is some basis for that. But again, you know, that's fine. It could be eminently logical. But again, it still also transcends the din that the Gemara attributes to the Pasuk. So it still supports the idea that the Pasuk is probably saying more than this din. It's not really about this din so much. Otherwise, this shouldn't matter, this kind of stuff, presumably. Rav Asher Weiss has an essay about this in his Sefer on Chumash, actually. It's coming up pretty soon. It's the Parshas Bahar. So he notes there that he's not so sure that this is so agreed upon by everyone. Because the Chassam Sofer discusses in his Tshuva scenarios where you have someone who's working for the community, like the rabbi or the like, and he has his expenses covered through the community, the very strong intertwining with the community resources. But he has his own home. It's specifically stated there that he's given his own home to go back to. You know, you could imagine, for example, let's say a shamish living in the shul and taking care of it 24 hours a day, and maybe that's one thing, but even if he has his own home, so still, the Chassam Sofer is concerned about going past 3 years, is concerned that there is a...
Owned by the community or owned by...
Sounds like he has his own place to go home to, that's what it sounds like. So, if that's not the key factor, so then is that a problem for us? Is that an issue if even if we find the person can go home, it's still going to have a concern. So first of all, halacha l'maaseh, is that a problem? So then, what about our contracts? So he mentions over there, Rav Asher Weiss, that he thinks what is also a difference, and if you could find another difference in the language of the Mordechai and the language of the Rama, that what's the nature of the work? So is he expected to be working essentially constantly? Or does he have any time off? If he has any time off, time to himself, whether it's on a daily basis or even less often, but he has some vacation time, he has some interruption in his working, he's not on the clock at any given time, so then that itself will break the Eved issue. So again, it's important on two tracks. It's important in Halacha L'maaseh, but it's also important just in terms of determining what kind of details count and what kind of details don't count. Jonathan?
We mentioned we have a concept, especially in secular society, at least, that you can have someone on the clock taking like registered vacation time. It doesn't mean that he's not working. He lost his job for that 12 hours as well.
Correct. And therefore, that may be good for us because it doesn't mean that he's not a poll,
right.
But it may mean that he's not an Evid.
Okay.
You know, so that's good. Right, the fact that what we mentioned yesterday is that we talked about Tosfos' point, and Tosfos in Kiddushin, that wanted to learn out from Avdus that any lost time due to sickness or the like is the Balabayas' problem. Maybe we should say the same thing by a polo. And then their conclusion that no, a polo is different from Avdus, and you're paying him to work, not paying him to be sick. So that the Havamin of Tosfos is not so crazy. To say that we carry over that factor to a worker, we have echoes of that in contemporary labor structures. Maybe not half, 50% of the time, but the idea that there is paid vacation or paid sick leave, that a certain amount of onus is granted to the worker, that he can have a certain amount of unavoidable impediments, and he'll still get paid for that time. So there is some model for that, but it doesn't necessarily have to affect us in terms of whether it's going to be a violation of the din of Avdus or not. So you also find that the Shach says over here that whatever our issue is with 3 years or whatever the concern is, still, if he has no parnasa otherwise, so it's still mutter for him to enter into whatever deal we're saying that he otherwise can't. So once again, first of all, it sounds like a Darabanan kind of mahalach. But he also notes that essentially, and this is an idea that we'll come back to a few times, at least once, that it's basically a kal v'chomer, because, okay, he has things better than an Eved. right? But again, we know that avdus does exist, and it's kind of a strange scenario because we look down on it, but it still exists as a possibility. So what does that mean, we look down on it? It means that we don't want anyone to take on avdus. It's a denial of their role as avdei Hashem. But lamaisa, why do people do it then? Because they're all just not interested in the Torah? It's not such an appealing lifestyle. And so why do people do it? They do it because if they're completely desperate and they can't figure out a way to make a living otherwise, so then they do it despite the Torah's basic disapproval. So if a person can go into mamash avdus in order to survive, to make a living, so then presumably a poel who's ge'ena evid, a poel who's skating too close to avdus, is also an option that's open for somebody who can't make a parnasa otherwise. So it's basically a kal v'chomer from actual avdus, that if actual avdus is such an option, so then whatever halachas we have regulating a poel that come mitam avdus should also be allowed for somebody in that scenario. That's basically what the shach says.
So the shach saying that it's still possible to maintain it as an indoraisa, it's not the same way that avdus is used to be a real iser in the Torah, like you're like it's mutter to shach yourself to the Baalites forever. The same way that we still need the indoraisa, which has some of the same caveats that like we don't view them as iserim, so that like so maybe heter isn't the right word, but there are extenuating circumstances that we don't view as something.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. You know, our general unclarity about how to figure out the relationship between the pasuk and this din, and the fact that it doesn't seem to manifest itself like a straight yisur d'oraisa. So you could say it a couple ways. One way to say it's a masar nakasav l'chachamim kind of concept. So we satisfy the din in other ways. So it doesn't necessarily have to be the specifics. You know, like we would never say, for example, okay, don't work on Shabbos, which means don't do malachas. But if you have to malachas, then make sure you're relaxed at the time, so at least you won't be working. You can never imagine such a thing, right? You know, we don't have that in other areas of halacha. So it's hard to, you know, we eat kosher food, but if you can't eat kosher food, at least get a rabbi to bless it. You know, we don't have such a concept that, well, if you can't do it the way the Torah really wants, then find some other comparable kind of thing. So it's an unusual language for Daraisa. So that helps if we see it as a Masarna Kasuv Chachamim kind of idea. But you're also helping to emphasize the truth is you could say it differently. That even let's say it is a straight out Daraisa, meaning specifically this. But it's clearly not an Isser in a full blown sense, like you find by other things. And basically, it seems to be kind of a Ratzon HaTorah sort of idea that the Torah is indicating its disapproval of people acting this way. But not in a Chi of Malkus kind of sense, not in the sense where a person is considered to be a real Rasha if he does it, and therefore if we have a certain amount of tolerance for it, so then tolerance has got to exist, at least in this circumstance too, because it's basically a Kal V'chomer from the actual thing that we're trying to avoid. Jonathan?
So if we're going to this idea of Masor HaKadosh Baruch Hu, does that mean like if we have this heter, we have to sort of use it, or like if I have a professional job available that I have to go on a 10-year contract, or my other option is to, I don't know, like work on a restaurant at minimum wage, do I have to avoid using this heter with my better job option? Like, I'll still survive with my...
So you're saying, is it basically a b'dievet kind of thing?
Yeah.
That, I mean, it seems to be b'dievet either way, but I guess the point is that there still could be other outweighing factors.
Right.
But so then the point of Masar HaKasav L'Chachamim would mean that we have these, it's more about mitigating the Eved status. And there are a couple ways to mitigate it in terms of the quitting option or also in terms of other things. And so you'll be encouraged to address it from other angles. That sounds like. Adin?
With going, if we're passing like the maybe the more extreme, I don't know if there's ever shown that like that you can't do no matter what it is, like your amount of stuff over the 3 years the maximum. Mm. Would we be able to avoid a 5-year contract, or is it we disapprove of it and you shouldn't do it? Like is the shark still a
So that's a good question. Let's see, we'll have to get to that. So then what happens if somebody kind of contracts against this? Right, and that's something I don't know if we'll get to today, but that's a major thing we'll have to get to on Monday. You know, what would be the context that's going to be treated like an absolute iser and yod v'lo mahani kind of thing? If you do it, it doesn't have any halachic status. And this is, as you can imagine, these kind of things come up in practical halacha. It's the kind of thing that you're going to debate. So some of these practical issues we'll try to save for the end. But there is a particularly fascinating issue that comes up both in terms of the practicality and in terms of what it reflects about the nature of how this din works. So we skipped a line in the Shulchan Aruch before, and we'll come back to it now. And it's a line that's based on the Maharik. Right? The Shulchan Aruch says, according to Maharik, that you want to know just how much the Hoel has the upper hand here. Just consider the following. And here the Shulchan Aruch, I'll read you his Lashon again. What are we talking about? Again, the line that we skipped. We have filu kibel kfar dmei schiris. Let's say the worker has already been paid the full deal. He's been given everything for whatever term he was expected to work. So you might say, all right, so he has to give it back. Right? That doesn't necessarily... You might think, okay, maybe that reflects some type of commitment, but all right, but he has the right to quit, so let him just give back the money that he has not earned yet. Says the Shulchan Aruch, even ve'ein bi'odo l'shalim l'balabayis. Let's say he spent it all. He doesn't have the ability to give back the money. So he's not entitled to money that he didn't earn. So what's the consequence of that? If he has this money that he can't pay back, he has a debt that he didn't earn, the boss paid him in advance, so what should that mean? So you'd be reasonable in thinking that it means, okay, then you really got to work if you... First of all, we would have thought before we read this whole sugya, you have to work anyway. You're already committed to work. But if we tell you pull out, okay, you pull out if you're going to give back the money. But if you can't give back the money, you should have to work. It says the Shulchan Aruch based on the Maharik. No, yochol lachzibo. Still, he can pull out. B'hamos cholvolov. All right, he has a debt now. He's got to figure out how he's going to pay back all this money that he took in advance for work that he didn't do. And that's an issue. We'll have to deal with it. But it doesn't translate into an obligation for him to work. So not his initial agreement, nor his acceptance of the money and his inability to give it back. I guess it's three madrigas, right? He agreed to work, he got paid, and he can't pay back. None of those obligate him to work, and he has the right to quit, and they'll have to figure out how he's going to raise the money to pay back what he's not doing. It's a very fascinating idea in terms of the practicality, and it's also relevant to the lumbus. Because, says the Ksos HaChoshen, you see the Ksos who talks about this? Right? The Ksos says that this is, on a conceptual level, against the Tshuvas Maimini. Right? Does anyone see this? What does the Tshuvas Maimini say? Tshuvas Maimini wants to explain, why is it, how does it work that Hol Yochel Lachzer, what is a mechanism? All right, so we have a Pasuk, but maybe there's something else to it also. There's a reason why the poel is allowed to pull out, and it has to do with the eved relationship. But is there any way for an eved to get out early? If an eved isn't just a recipient of rachmanis by his bialim,
yes,
oh, is it true? Not there.
Well, that's also true, right? But that's barring any offensive action against him. What else?
Purchase himself back.
Right. What's that called? It's called Giron Kesef, that he has whatever debt he has, if he somehow acquires the ability to pay it off, so if he has money to give back, Keneged, whatever his remaining time is, so then he can get out early. He can reduce the debt that he has. So says the Maharik, that's basically what's happening here also. That he's entitled to salary for the time that he's working, but since he's not going to take that salary, because he's not going to work that time, so therefore it's Kiilu, he's buying himself back from the original owner. It's a very interesting idea. What's the Maharik's big premise here then? That essentially there is a pretty strong bond between Avdus and Poel. That they're both bought and paid for, basically, and they can buy themselves back by giving back the money. So it's just an Eved who doesn't have the ability to do that normally unless he gets some money is stuck. And a Poel who has money coming to him on a regular basis can forfeit that money, and that will be considered the same kind of mechanism. That will be considered a Giron Kesef. He'll basically be buying himself back. So that's a fascinating idea. And some point out that the Tosfosim that we've seen so far seem to be against it. And right? Some of the later Svarim, they point out that Tosfosim Kedushin and Tosfosim Bav Metzia are both working off the premise that there simply is a fundamental difference now between a Poel and an Eved. They don't work the same way. And if that's the case, so then we shouldn't use Giron Kesef as an explanation. We don't need an explanation beyond the fact that a Poel is not an Eved. An Eved is, to some extent, the property of the Bailim, so he's got to buy himself back. A Poel doesn't have to buy himself back because he's not an Eved. So he has the schus to quit. That's what it means to be a Poel and not an Eved. That's what it sounds like from the Tosfosim that we've seen so far. The Ksos points out that it's also the case that it doesn't seem like this is the way we understand it, Bahalacha, because look at the Maharik. According to the Maharik, even if he can't forfeit any salary because he's taken it all and he can't give it back, he doesn't have it, he still has the right to pull out. So says the Ksos, you should definitely take a look at it inside if you haven't seen it yet. Says the Ksos, that's basically explicitly against this Mahalach, and it's in support. You can add to that that it's in support of the view that seems to be what Tosfos is saying, that it's just a fundamentally different structure here, and it's because a Poel, as a consequence of this din, is different than an Eved, and there's no need for him to buy himself back. That's not on the table at all. That's not a requirement. So just mention, let's say, two or three other points, and then we'll try to finish this, God willing, on Monday. But there is also an interesting idea that if we want to say that the whole right of the Poel to back out is simply because he shouldn't be like an Eved, so would it make a difference if he's willing, he finds a boss he likes better? So he says to boss number one, he says, that's it, I don't like you, I'm quitting in the middle of the day, and immediately crossing the street to go work for your competitor. I like him better. Oh, so right, the tour actually, right, that tour is relevant. We'll get to that tour in a second. The specific case, you're right, that tour is probably a riot for this question, but who deals with that question explicitly is the Chacham Shlomo. You saw that, it's also on the Marmachomus list. Right, Shlomo Kluger says that since the whole premise is, why are you allowed to quit? It's not as chus, he says, for the Eved, for the Poel, that he can do whatever he wants. He got the upper hand. He can decide, all right, I don't like Coke anymore, I want to go work for Pepsi. That's a better drink. It's not about that. It's only because of this one concept that he should not be Eved-like. So if he says, I want to be a free man, I want to go to the beach, all right, so then fine, he has the right. You can't tell him he's Meshubit. But if in the same breath he's going to go be Meshabit himself to someone else, says the Chacham Shlomo, and the Ravid Hazav has a similar comment, that it's only if you quit to quit, not if you quit to work as an Eved for somebody else, so then you're not going to have such a schus, which is a very interesting idea. Again, this is, according to that, this is not a blanket notion that you always have the upper hand as the worker, but it's simply about non-avdus, and if you're going to quit in such a way that you remain in a state of avdus, or you're even more of a state of avdus, so then that is not going to help. And Aaron points out very correctly that seems to be supported by what the Torah says, and the Bach explains it a little more clearly, that says in the Torah that this is, as Aaron quoted, this whole din is only true if the worker quits. He says, that's it, I quit. But if there is a higher rate he realizes he can get. So he says, listen, if you don't pay me the higher rate, I'm going to quit. And that's my right because I'm a poel, and a poel has the upper hand. So I'll quit unless you pay me more. So to that, says the Torah, as the Bach explains, no, can't do that. Because it's not that you always have the upper hand as the worker. They say you have a right not to be a worker. You have a right not to be tied down to be a poel forever, or in an indefinite sense. But if you're willing to be a worker, then you can't start pulling any other game. You can't say, I'm going to work for the other guy. That's what the Chacham Shlomo says. And what the Torah, the Bach, say, you can't say, I'm going to only work for a higher salary, and I can hold that over your head, because you know I can quit at any time, so you better give me the higher salary. Says the Torah in the Bach, no, it's not true. You can't do that. You can only, you have the right either to stay at the salary that you agreed, or to leave, but you don't have the right to leave for any reason other than your desire to be free. So I think it was Adin and then Jonathan?
I'm just curious if these cases really align. I feel like the Torah's case seems more black and white. You could say that the poel doesn't have any real kohos on the Baal HaBayit. He just has his own abilities, and there he's trying to use his halachic standing as leverage, which we can understand would make sense that the Chacham say you can't do. But for the Chacham HaSholeh, the way that I would first feel is that even leaving to work somewhere else is an expression of non-avodah. That an eved can't decide if he doesn't like his master, he's going to leave for another master.
Yeah, so your point is very well taken. That clearly there is a difference in terms of absoluteness, which is why the Chacham Shlomo is a Acharon of a later generation. The Torah is a Rishon, not compared to us, but an Acharon of several hundred years later, and the Torah is a Rishon. And if the Torah was exactly the same thing, the Chacham Shlomo wouldn't have had to make a Chiddush at all. So the Torah is supportive of his position. The Torah's position can be used as a support for his position, but you're right, that it's not the same thing. So to go in the other order, to mention the Torah first, so yes, the Torah says that you have to do it stam, and you can't say, I can change the terms on you because I have this automatic get out of job free card. But does it necessarily follow that if he gets out of the job, he can't work for somebody else? Not necessarily, and that was the Chacham Shlomo's Chiddush, that no, we only grant him this right because of the desire not to be an Eved, but if he's going to be an Eved anyway, so then that's not going to help. Then we're not going to allow him to do that.
So how do we understand the Chacham Shlomo's view of Avdus? Because it can't just mean, how is working for someone else an expression of Avdus?
Because the same way working for the first boss is an expression of Avdus, if you're going to put yourself in the same condition, just with a different master, so then that doesn't help us.
But isn't using your polyakhalachsu b'chatsiayom, and you showed that you're...
Apparently not. Apparently, if you're putting yourself back into a working scenario, that he's emphasizing the fact that this chus is not really a benefit for the worker. It's basically only related to the fact that you have the option to not be a worker. But if you're going to end up being a worker, so then there's no such right. And that's also what the Torah says, but you're right, that it's only vis-a-vis his ability to manipulate the boss, which doesn't mean, like, so to speak, they were saying, no, it's not right to manipulate because you're exploiting your religious rights, and it's kind of a religious blackmail. That's one way to look at it, but the Torah is saying something more fundamental, that there is no such right, that the right is only to pull out, and it's very limited. It's not that we're giving him a benefit to say, I got to get the best terms always, no matter what. It's that he has the right to pull out. If you don't want to pull out, you're stuck with the deal that you originally made. Jonathan?
We say that the Chacham Shlomo is taking sides here, whether or not you can be mevatel a contract which said 3 years, because you're going to say that there's a contract that's being mevatel, so he can do whatever he wants and even work for everyone. But if it's just a special din here, a special heter he has, then you couldn't do necessarily whatever he wants, only he has certain venues, like going to the beach. But he can't necessarily, it's not completely free where you can just pick another job.
Saying if the reason you want to get out of the agreement is to take another job as opposed to Stam leave.
So then it shows that we're not necessarily just mevatling a specific contract, because it's a special head there. But if we're saying that the whole past agreement that has mevatel, so he can do whatever he wants, then maybe.
I hear. Could be. So it's a possibility. So we're about to run out of time. We should have a mincha, but just what a quick review we spoke about. But the main issue of the couple, next time when we pick up this topic on Monday, so I want to talk about a lot of halacha lemaisa details and a few other points, but one of the major issues that we'll start off at the beginning is the right, does the right exist for the poel to contract himself out of this? Let's say, for example, you make a kinyan, and we talked in the earlier sugi about whether starting to work is itself a kinyan within this basic relationship, but let's say, separate from that, you say, I'm going to stay committed to you, and I will make a halachic kinyan to commit myself to not following this escape clause of Kol Yachol Achzer. Does that change anything? Is there a possibility of doing that? So God willing, that's what we'll start with when we pick this up. But what are we talking about today? So after chazing a little bit, we were up to. So we talked about some of the questions in terms of the three-year period. And Tosfos tells us as a concept of 3 years is the term of a worker. Tosfos in Bava Metzia tells us that Avadai Haim doesn't mean that you can't rent yourself out, because worker is not an Eved, so you can rent yourself out. But the Mordechai adds Davko for less than 3 years because of obvious considerations, and the Ramah quotes that and applies that to Mulamdin. And then we discuss, so Halach L'maisa, how do you deal with that? So we mentioned the view of some of the Achronim that if you live in your own house at night, then that makes it okay. We mentioned that Rav Asher Weiss quoted from the Chassam Sofer, who wasn't satisfied with that being the only difference. But if you have breaks, you're not working constantly, then perhaps that's what makes a difference. And we mentioned the Shach, that if you have to do one of these things, or all these things for your Parnasa, it's Mutter, that's a Kal V'Chomer from Eved. And then we got into the question of the Maharik, that Maharik says that this chus applies. It's three chidushim, that your commitment doesn't keep you there, the fact that you've been paid your whole salary in advance doesn't keep you there, and the fact that you're not able to pay it back doesn't keep you there. But if that's the case, you can't pay back the whole thing, you can still get out of the job, and it's a chov to pay it back. And the Ksos noted that this was against the Tshuvas Maimoni, which says that basically it's Giron Kesef that's at play here. Just like an Eved could buy himself back by getting some of the money that represents his Avdus, so too the worker could forfeit the pay for that time, and that's a kind of Giron Kesef. Which, by the way, the Maharik, when he says, the Tshuvas Maimoni says that, he says that it's basically a Kal V'Chomer from Eved, just like an Eved. If an Eved has the option of Giron Kesef, so too Kal V'Chomer Poel has at least that kind of an option. And it seems like other Rishonim wouldn't necessarily agree that that's what's going on. The Tosfosim that we've seen seem to be saying that no, there's just no parallel, that an Eved and a Poel are two separate concepts. And as the Ktzos notes from this Maharik that the Shulchan Aruch quotes, you can't tell me that that's what's going on if the guy is not able to give back any money at all because he's been paid in advance and he doesn't have anything. So Mamela, it's not about that. It's about simply the definition of Poel is a different concept. And then we took up some other questions about are there limitations to when he could invoke this right. So we saw that the Torah says that he has to be chozer stam. He can't say I'm a chozer because I want the higher rate now, I want the higher salary. It's either you stay or you leave, but you can't use that to say I want better terms. And that may or may not, may support, may not be absolutely conclusive of the position of the Chachma Shlomo, that you're allowed to quit to be a free man, to go to the beach, but you can't quit to go work for somebody else, because if you're willing to be an Eved there but not here, so then you don't have any right to invoke your non-abdus clause to get out of this job. And then we introduce the question that we'll pick up with next time, the question of what is the role of a kinyan. If a person decides he will contract himself to not be able to quit, then he'll make a kinyan that he's not going to quit. So does that change his din or not? So we'll have to look into that a little bit more. All right, who's our volunteer for Mincha?